and if the rioters will commence again, there will be rough times. We marched from the Battery up Broadway to Washington Square, where we encamped. While we slept, our guards and pickets stayed awake on duty as if we were in enemy country.
We was mustered in for pay yesterday. When I get my money, I will send it home as soon as I can, and I will get my picture taken. We will get our guns next week. Mary, I think the war will not last long. If we get Charleston and a few more victories, the rebels will give up. I will be home on the 16th if I possibly can get off. Now, Mary, you must not let James Duncan destroy anything. If his cattle does destroy anything, do not pay him the money that I owe him. He can be made to pay every cent the cattle destroy.
I received your welcome letter on Friday and was glad to hear that you were coming home. Oh, I'm so excited. Then you can attend Henry's party. Philip, Pa is going to commence to haul staves on Monday. Dill told Father to haul them to the nearest place to the creek. He said that was the agreement, but Pa says he does not know of any agreement. Now, Philip, I want you to let me know whether you and him agreed on that to send them down the creek. Oh, dear. I wish you were at home. How often I have wished for you at home. Now, dear husband, let me know whether you are going to Henry's or not, because if I go, I must have a dress before I can go. Lucinda is getting her silk dress colored and is getting another one besides. She says she wants to show some respect for Henry's wife. She thinks she is better than other people because she is rich. I will not go among them so poorly dressed. I must close for this time. No more from your true and loving wife. Oh, I can hardly wait till I see you. Come home. Goodbye till next week.
Mary, I could not get off today. I had a furlough written, but the colonel did not sign it, and of course I had to stay. You need not think hard of it. I was as badly disappointed as you was.
It is 2 months this day since you left home. Now, Philip, if you want me to get any relief... without any fears about it. Philip, I have no way of making a living.
I am sorry to hear you have so much trouble with one thing or another, but you must try and do the best you can for yourself and the girls. Did you get Luella new shoes? Now, Mary, put your trust in God. He is able to help you out of all your troubles. Pray oft times to God to preserve you from all deceit and sin.
There was a very hard frost here last night. It froze the potato stalks to the ground. I think we will dig our potatoes next week, the early ones, at any rate. Now, dear husband, I hope you live a good life. I never go to bed without asking the Lord to preserve you and bring you back to your family again in safety. Oh, do not engage in anything bad, but I have no fears that you will, but I thought I would warn you. Your affectionate wife.
Joseph Pringle to Philip W. Pringle, dear brother. I take my pen in hand at present time to write to you this letter. Times are very hard in regard to money matters. It's almost out of the question to get any money at all. Now, we have some taxes to pay, and Lucinda requested me to write to you in regard to the money which she loaned to you. She would like to have it if you could possibly raise it. Please let us know soon what you can do for us in the matter of, for we must pay the taxes soon or suffer loss. Please accept our love and best wishes. Your brother, Joseph W. Pringle.
Dear husband, I received $2 in the last letter you sent me. I got Luella a nice new pair of shoes at Dill's. I told her they were a present from Pa. Now, Philip, I would like to send you some eatables. If I can get them to the station, I will send some sausages and other things. Perhaps I will roast a turkey and send it to you.
This is a very bad night for me. I'm on guard and it is raining and it is as dark as can be and as muddy as it can be. It is shoe mouth deep all through camp. It is one of the worst places I have seen in my life, but it all goes in our lifetime. I see a good many folks here from every county west of the mountains, some very hard nuts. There are some running off yet, but not as many as at first. There was about 400 deserted from camp since we are in here. In your last letter, you stated that the cow died. I suppose it was not your fault.
Oh, Philip, I wish you could come home Christmas to see us. Dill has nearly all your staves hauled away. Tell me whether this will settle it up with him. He says you owe him some money. Now, Philip, I would like to know how we stand. I was there at the store to get some flannel to make the children some skirts. Cunningham was so mean. I could not get any for less than 80 cents half cotton, and I would not give it. Things are getting dearer. He charges 50 cents for muslin, and not good at that. And calico is 25 cents per yard. Oh, this is a cruel war. And our prisoners are starving in Richmond.
Mary, I'm well and in good spirits. Yesterday was one of the finest days I ever seen for this time of year, and Christmas was one nice day, and we had one of the finest dinners that could be heard of in all the country. We had as much as we could eat. Turkey and chicken and oysters, sweet cakes and pound cakes and pies, and apples and mutton and jelly and canned fruit, and everything that could be mentioned. We have some turkey in our tent yet.
I received your letter on Sunday and was glad to hear from you, for I was almost crazy to hear from you. It was over 2 weeks that I did not hear from you. In the first place, I will tell you that Luella shows everyone her new little shoes and says, "My papa sent them from the army." When she gets mad at me, she says she will go off with Pa to the army and fight rebels.
January 10th, 1864. The weather is very wet and cold here at present, but it is probably much colder up there. I suppose you'd like to know how I spent my Christmas and New Year. I spent Christmas on guard, and on New Year I spent fasting. All I had for New Year was a small piece of fat pork for breakfast. I have not seen Dan Luke since the scrape at Mine Run. The Pennsylvania Reserve are doing railroad duty between here and Alexandria. Received a letter from Brother Henry and Brother Joseph this evening. They informed me that Uncle Paul was dead. I hope it was nothing serious. P.S. Please write and tell me all about your weather.
It is snowing fast this evening. Philip, I had no rest when I heard you were sick. I am very uneasy. You must get a pair of boots when you get paid. I will try and shift some money to get along. Now be sure and get what you need, for you have to stand out in the storm, and we have our houses to be in. I was dreaming last night about scrubbing dirty houses, and that is not a good dream for me. This is the coldest winter I have ever seen. It is bitter cold here. It froze the ice in the cellar, and froze all the potatoes that was in it. Every time I was awake last night, I thought of you, and that was often, for I slept cold. Now, dear husband, try and live right. Don't let any of those wicked people lead you astray.
I must tell you that I got those gloves and socks you sent me. Yeah, I'm glad. They're just right and came right good. We have some jolly times in camp these days. We have very good tents now, and everything is fixed nice in them. We live good and comfortable and agreeable together. We had a fine breakfast this morning, toasted bread. Mary, I wish you could be here with me today. There are a good many folks visiting in camp at present. If you come, bring about 12 of them Philadelphia newspapers along to paper our tent.
Sadie is very sick. Yesterday we thought she would not live the night. I sent for John, and he came, and he said it was inflammation of the lungs. Him and I bathed her in a tub of warm water, and we got Jimmy to go for Mrs. Tom. But he has not come home yet. He sent medicine, but the ice went away. No person could get across the creek to get it. Oh, Philip, I wish you could come home. No person knows the trouble I had since he went to the army. This day Sadie is 1 year old. Did you remember that day? Take good care of yourself and pray for me and the daughters. Write soon.
The president is going to call out 1 million of men ages to 60 on the 1st of February. They are going to go for 3 months to take the prisoners out of Richmond. Mary, I would like to see you here now. There are no smallpox in camp after all. The men that we thought had them, they have the measles only. Please and let me know when you intend coming to see me so that I can meet you at the station. And I want to get your picture taken. They can take them nice now at this place. Yours as ever.
February 18th, 1864. Dear husband, this evening I seat myself with tearful eyes and aching heart to tell you about the death of our little Luella. She died on Monday morning between 2 and 3 o'clock. She had diphtheria. We'd done everything for her that we could, but nothing seemed to help her. No person cannot be more troubled or sorrow. As soon as she was dead, Pa went to get Jacob Sensbaugh to tell you or telegraph for you. We did not bury her till on Wednesday evening. Your father thought you would surely come. I wrote to you, but you did not get the letter. I would have written sooner when she got so bad. But Pa and Sarah would not let me. They said she would get better. They could not believe she would die. It was a solemn night for me. My heart aches for you. My sweet little Luella is no more. But she is in heaven, where we may go someday. I will close for this time, for I cannot write. I cannot see. Goodbye.
I embrace the present to write a few lines to you. I feel too sympathetic with you on account of the death of your dear little girl. Through the orders of Providence, it has been our lot to part with some of our loving babes. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Jesus said to her, "Come home to me and live forever and happy be." Amen. Your affectionate brother, Joseph W. Pringle.
Loving wife, I feel so far from you at this time of sadness. Tell me when next you write. Did you bury sweet Luella in her little shoes? But Mary, don't weep. Our beloved is happy with angels in heaven and is free from sorrow and pain. It is miserably here today. It turned and wet in the afternoon and very hard in the evening and then rained all night. One squad of drafted men was sent off to the Potomac to the army to the front.
April 10th. I seat myself this morning to speak to you through the silent voice of the pen. You said you would get off when your 9 months was up. You were drafted for only 9 months. Philip, the time is up now. Oh, how glad I would be if I knew that you could come home. I don't see how people can live. Times are very hard. Things are getting dearer every day. Dear husband, it is so long to stay without you. I need you. I do not understand why you do not come home when your time is up.
We have a new commander in camp. General Copeland is removed on account of mismanagement. The conditions at camp have been terrible. More than 100 men have died here since January. We are tired of being so long at one place.
Philip, I did not get any relief money since the fall. Dill sent me word to come down last Saturday, a week. But I could not get across the creek. It was very high, so I can't draw 1 cent. All this time I did not draw. It is hard on me, for things are so costly. Meat is 16 1/2. Save 1 cent. Oh, that this cruel war was over, that has caused so much grief in our happy country. We got your photograph. Sadie was almost crazy. She kissed it more than I kissed your lips before I sat down to write, but they were as cold as ice.
Dear and loving wife, this is the first day of May, and it is very pleasant here today. Everything is growing fine. Mary, I want you to plant some potatoes for yourself if you can. Get the ground plowed, for they will be a great help to you. You wanted to know if I would be free again since my 9 months would be up soon. I cannot tell you anything about it. It is rumored that we will be discharged before long, but it is only talk. Mary, my country needs me. If the war continues, I must serve my country and stay for one more year. So you need not look for me home this spring.
Well, I had a letter from Martin last Saturday. He is not reenlisting and will come home the 1st of June. Just one more campaign yet. He is very well and in good spirits, and sent his photograph to me. It is nice. He looks as he always did. I must tell you that another of our bees are dead. The old one of all. It starved to death. It had not one drop of honey to eat.
I am sorry to tell you that we leave for the front in a few days. All the drafted men are sent to the front. We go to the regiment, to Brandy Station, Virginia. We are making ready to go at the word go. Our boys are all on a spree tonight. They are all very merry. Today is my birthday. I'm 31 years of age. Philip Walter Pringle.
Harrison Dillinger died last Wednesday in the 54th Regiment at Cumberland. His father went down and fetched him home and buried him in Jefferson. His father and mother take it very hard and lament their loss very much.
May 5th. I'm boxing up some things to send home. One blanket, one overcoat, and some other thing. I drew $26 pay and sent $22 home to you. We will be sent to the front tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and so I bid you goodbye for a while. Be of good cheer. Put your trust in God, Mary. I will write as soon as convenient. Give Sadie a kiss for me.
Oh, dear husband, how often I think of you. Sadie is sitting on my lap, and we are praying that you get return home safe. My hand is shaking so I cannot write.
May 12th. It is hot here in Virginia. Our boat landed at Belle Plaine. Mary, it was the first time I was on a steamboat to take a ride. We drew 5 days' rations and 60 rounds of cartridges and are marching towards Fredericksburg. There was a hard battle fought today. We could hear the roar of cannons all day. May 15th. We are in the front line of battle behind our rifle pits and are ready to move at a moment's notice on the enemy. We are about 2 miles from Spotsylvania Courthouse. I'm sending this by a wounded soldier. May 19th, camp near the front, Spotsylvania. Dear wife, I'm alive yet, for which I'm thankful to God for his kindness to me. We was in battle on the 18th and was shelled like 40. The shot and shell came almost as thick as a blinding snowstorm. It was some of the hardest of fighting done that ever was fought, and our army is victorious. We took about 1,000 prisoners and have Lee surrounded, and will no doubt capture him and his army. Mary, I'm well and in good spirits. We may have a battle at any moment. Brother Martin was wounded in the 5th of this month in the left shoulder by a mini-ball, and last I heard from him, he was in the hospital and doing well. But Dan Luke is missing since the first battle, and suppose he is killed. Please write soon, and I will write when I can, and will write more if I'm alive or I'm spared.
It is with pleasure that I inform you that I'm still alive. I was captured on the 5th of May with 60 of my regiment. I am now a prisoner of war in Richmond. There are 400 in one brick house, and we are kept in close confinement. It is generally understood that there will be no mail sent north. Perhaps this will not reach you, but I will do my best I can by putting it in the mail. Do not be uneasy about me. I will take care of myself, and if I am hurt, it will be my duty. As ever, Dan W. Luke.
June 5th, 1864, Cold Harbor, Virginia. Mary, we are in a dangerous place. We made a charge upon the rival rifle pits and went through an awful shower of bullets. We have been under continual fire for 4 days. The bullets flew thick as hail. The ground was covered with dead and a great many wounded. One was shot in the neck and fell on me and made me all bloody. Some of the balls came very close to me and threw sand in my face and eyes. Shells burst so close they made me almost deaf. At present, the bullets are flying thick and fast. Now, Mary, don't fret. God only knows if I will ever come home again. If I fall, do not mourn for me. Pray that we may meet again. If not in this world, we may meet in heaven.
June 15th. Martin Pringle, Sr. to Philip W. Pringle. Dear son, I received your kind letter this evening and hope when this reaches you that it will find you well. And as you wanted to know about your brother Martin, there's sorrowful news. He was wounded in field of the Wilderness on the 5th of May and died on the 20th. Your brother Joseph went down and brought his body home, and he was buried on the 26th. He was buried beside his mother. He died in Washington Hospital. The chaplain and the men of the hospital told Joseph that they never seen a man die happier than he did. The day he died, he was singing and praying all the time and to tell friends that they should meet him in heaven. He was wounded under the left shoulder and through one of his lungs, and the bullet was cut out of his back. Joseph has the ball. It was a mini ball. And the last he done was singing, "When I can read my titles clear, to mansions in the skies," and when he was about halfway through singing the hymn, he expired. Write soon, from your dear father, Martin Pringle.
June 19th. Mary, we had a hard march. We traveled day and night and got no sleep for 36 hours at a time. We crossed the James River on pontoons below City Point. There was 104 pontoons. We are now in the forest of Petersburg, Virginia. We can see Petersburg Plain. Our men are throwing shells into the town every 15. Badly yesterday. Hope the bullets flew thick and the cannons roared. We had to hug the ground very close to keep from getting hit. I do not know how we did escape as we did. It was a miracle. Bruce, dear wife, I mourn terribly for my beloved brother.
I was sorry to hear of Nicholas Cameron being killed. His mother takes it very hard. She wanted me to ask you if he died in the hospital. The chaplain wrote to them he died on the battlefield. She says she would feel better satisfied if he died in the hospital. I have not heard from your father since Martin was buried. Poor Martin is no more in this world, but hope he is now singing. You and I will meet him someday with our sweet little one.
Mary, President Lincoln is here visiting the front. We are now tearing up the Weldon Railroad and have destroyed about 6 or so miles. We put the ties up on huge piles of fences and brush, and then lay the rails on top and set fire to them. And the rails got hot and bent crooked, so they will be of no use anymore for the railroad. All the roads are cut, I believe, and I think the Rebs will have some hungry bellies before long.
We had 2 swarms of bees this month. I think it is a good year for them. James Dill was drafted, but stayed at home and paid his money.
I am sorry to tell you that I am not as well as I might be. I have the bowel complaint. I got my sickness by too much hard marching and exposure. I'm in the division hospital. It is a good place to stay and have no duty to do but to eat and drink. I'm getting rested pretty well.
I received your letter this evening, but oh, the sorrow and pain it gave my heart to think that you, my dearest friend in all this world, must be sick and so far away that I can't see you. Sometimes I think my heart will break.
Now, Mary, you must be content. Be cheerful. Sometimes it is impossible for me to write when we are on a move. You must not think hard of me for not writing. Letters are hard to send. I have no stamps anymore, so you will not think hard of me if I do not send this letter.
I heard yesterday evening that Alexander Irwin is wounded in the neck, and the ball came out at his ear. What will his poor wife do? She will go crazy.
July 9th. You wanted to know if Nicholas Cameron died in the hospital. A man from his company told me he was wounded in both legs, and they carried him to the hospital, and there he died and was buried in the hospital graveyard. It was buried nice in rows. They told me that Nick was a brave soldier, and they thought a great deal of him. Now, Mary, you must not fret or trouble yourself about me. Be of good spirit. It would do me good to hear of you being lively and cheerful. You must not be downhearted at all. God loves a cheerful person.
Well, I have news to tell you. Elizabeth Campbell has a little girl. It belongs to an old gray-bearded man that was going round telling fortunes. She denied it all the time. When she got sick to have it, they sent for a doctor thinking she was going to die. The doctor told Aunt Betsy she was going to have a baby, and Liz said it was a lie and took her mother by the hand and said, as sure as there was a God in heaven, it was not so. Then, when it was born, the doctor took it up and said, here's your child. Do you believe it now? She said she could not believe it yet. If ever you live to get home, I will tell you more about it. Mary Pringle.
I am not fit to march yet and will never be as stout as I was at one time. I am completely broke down and still have the dysentery middling bad. Please send letters to City Point, Virginia, 6th Corps Ambulance Train. How is Liz Campbell's little fortune teller?
Philip, I am well satisfied that you are in the hospital, for we hear they are fighting at Petersburg, and I am glad that you were not in that fight. Write to me soon, for I can hardly wait. It is all the pleasure I have to write and read your letters. In one of the letters I wrote, I sent 2 stamps. I would have sent more, but I am out of money. But if you can't get stamps, let me know, and I will borrow money and send you some stamps.
Mary, I have not got a letter from you for a month. I have written to you asking why you do not write to me. Have you forgotten me? What is wrong? I have written about 20 letters to you, and I have not received one, and yet why is it I cannot hear from home and friends anymore? Am I forsaken? I hope not. I feel like the lonely dove that has lost her mate. I feel to weep and moan. I do not hear from any of my friends. Oh, how I would like to hear from you.
Philip, you said you had not got any letters for 4 weeks. I am sure we wrote. I wrote, and Father, and Charlotte. You must not think it hard, but me not writing more. We had a good rain yesterday evening. The corn looks well. We have 150 head of sheep here of Dill's. We are going to keep 50, half of the lambs and half of the wool. Your little Sadie is out on the porch, looking at the sheep. She sings about her papoose. She can talk a great many things, and she can run about every place. Come home this fall, if you can. Philip, you must try and be more cheerful.
Last night our men took Danville Railroad and 1,500 as prisoners and 3,000 head of cattle from the Rebs. Let me know how you are getting along for provisions. I cannot help you at any time this time, but I have only 1 cent to my name, and that one I am going to keep.
There's such good news here. Some of our prisoners have been released, and Dan Luke has come home. I dreamed of you last night, and this morning I feel some better. Oh, Philip, try and come home, if you can. Oh, how glad I would be to see you.
We have orders today to destroy the South Side Railroad, to cut off all supplies and food to the Rebs in Petersburg. They are starving, and a great many of them are deserting. They all say they cannot stand it much longer. I was expecting to get paid this week, but the paymaster did not come up yet. We are looking for him every day.
We heard that Uncle John Pringle has deserted, and I think it is the case.
Joseph Pringle, Sickles Barrack Hospital, Alexandria, Virginia. I've seen some pretty hard times since I joined the Army. My right leg is considerably paralyzed, and I fear it'll prove a serious impediment to me. Dear brother, I was captured by Mosby's guerrillas, and I was robbed of all the valuables I had. Even my pantaloons were taken. I was wounded at the time and was allowed to escape. The news from our army is good, though. The Republic is on its last legs. That rebellion is no more, and slavery is doomed.
March 15th, 1865. We are under marching orders to attack. We have Petersburg surrounded. Now, Mary, I wrote to you better than 2 weeks ago, but I have not received an answer to it yet. The mail was robbed, and there was a great deal of money taken. They blame the mail carrier for it, and they have him under arrest. I found a great many letters torn open and thrown away. Some lost dollars, some 200, some even 900. I would like to find out if you got that letter. The Rebs are not fighting with their usual courage, Mary. Many are willing to be captured.
I think Sadie has forgotten you. She calls her Grandpap, Pa. She hears us calling him Pap, and she calls him Pap, too. Uncle John had his trial. He was found guilty of desertion. His sentence is 1 year's service in the front.
March 31st. Terrible attack by the enemy near Five Forks. But the heroic Sheridan and Chamberlain smashed them to pieces. Hundreds of them wounded and killed. Bullets were flying thick, but we beat them back. We join forces with Sheridan's army tomorrow, and we'll sure make the fur fly. Mary, I have a feeling the battle will be dangerous, and so I say goodbye for a while, and perhaps for a long while.
May God grant that you are living, and that you will get home soon to your family and friends. I pray every day for my husband, and trust that my poor, weak prayers will be heard and answered. Write as often as you can, for I can hardly wait till I hear from you. But I'm afraid to hear the news. Shall I ever see you again and embrace you in my arms? Goodbye.
April 2nd. This is an awful day of terror and bloodshed. I've never seen such terrible bombardment in battle. We are on a final assault to drive the enemy out. Mary, The battle is raging, and we are in a desperate struggle to capture their forts and guns. There must be thousands wounded and dead on both sides. Our entire line is now stretched around Petersburg. Our troops are beginning to tear up the South Side Railroad. It's just a matter of time before Petersburg falls.
I have a terrible feeling that you are hurt. Perhaps I'm writing to you, and you are not living. I can hardly sit to write. All the consolation I have is to trust in God till I get a letter from you.
Mary, we took Petersburg Sunday, but I had a very narrow escape. I was shot in the back. The bullet entered my haversack and passed through two tin plates, and then went through the hardtack and finally lodged against my back. I thought my back was broke, but only made a blue spot. It did not hurt me much. I never was under so heavy a fire of shell and grape and canisters in my life. The news here is extremely good. We have Richmond and we have the Rebs in a trap.
I can't tell you my feelings this evening. There is good news from the army, but I can't rejoice till I hear if my husband is living. Then I can to think the war will soon be over, that you can come home.
Richmond is in flames, and the air is thick with cinders of burnt paper and clothing flying in the wind. We are chasing Lee's retreating army. The road is strewn with dead horses and mules, wagons, ambulances, abandoned guns, food, and equipment. The rebels are defecting by the thousands.
It is a lonesome evening for me, and I am here writing to my dear husband. Now I pray the Lord to watch over you and bring you home safe. There will surely be some that will be spared. Oh, out of that few, let my husband be one of them.
April 10th, 1865. Dear and beloved wife, I must tell you the glorious news of the surrender of General Lee's army. He surrendered at 4 o'clock yesterday at Appomattox Courthouse, unconditionally all his forces. Oh, you ought to have been there to hear the cheers and salutes and the joyful roar of shouts from our army, like an anthem of praise to God. We had Lee surrounded, and then he had to give up. We had been marching day and night for 8 days, driving, fighting the enemy all the while, and they could not stand before us. I think there will be no fighting anymore. Mary, I'm spared. I think God heard your prayers, Mary, and spared me. The boys are all in great spirits. We divided up our rations and shared them with the starving enemy.
April 16th, 1865. Dear and loving husband, this Sabbath day I take up my pen to answer your letter, which I received this week and was truly glad to hear that you had been preserved through all the battles. But I feel sorry and sad today. We got the news yesterday evening that Lincoln was shot on Friday night and died on Saturday morning at 7. Daniel was in Evansburg when the news came to town, and it was confirmed, so it must be true. I wonder what this world will come to. I was in good heart when I heard you were safe and Richmond was taken, that the war would soon be over. But some mean wretch had to go and shoot President Lincoln. That man will get his reward. The Lord will not let that man go unpunished. Dan said that if any man tells him it was good for Lincoln, he will shoot him dead.
I could not help but weep when I heard the sad news of the president's death. I was as much grieved as though it had been my own brother. Oh, what a gloom and sadness over all the nation. It is the awfulest thing that ever happened in America. We are here at Danville yet. We may have to stay for some time yet, and the men are getting impatient. There was a large graveyard close to our camp filled with our soldiers that starved in prison. About 5,000, and a great many Rebs are buried in the same yard. I will send you some Confederate money.
Dear husband, the war is over. I look for you every day. Where are you? Every person is coming home. David Pringle is discharged. I had a letter from him. He wanted to know why you were not here. Uncle John Pringle is at home and is going to move to Ohio. I am so troubled that I do not hear from you. Sadie says her pa will fetch her candy when he comes home.
Mary, I do not know what to do. I feel so despondent. I've seen no sight as yet for us to get out of the service, but I do not care. I do not care much if I will not get out soon. If I get out now, the season will be over for getting work, just so I get home in time to get a winter's job. They use us very mean, I think. But let them do as they may. We will get home at any rate. By law, they cannot hold us any longer now that the war is over.
Once more, it was over a month since I heard from you. I guess you had forgot you had a wife that cares for you. What is the matter with you? You think I don't write to you, but that is not the case. If you but knew how much trouble you give me by not writing, you would write oftener than you do. I did not know what to do or what to think. Last night I dreamed about you all night. Oh, I have dreamed so much of you coming home and could see you so plain and talk to you. But in the morning when I wake up, it is all over. I've been looking for you all week. You talk just like you do not care if you come home or not. What is the reason? I cannot tell. Soldier, come home. Quit. Mary Pringle.
July 1st, Washington, D.C. Dear wife, I'm happy to inform you that I am on my way home. I have my papers and transportation and I'm going to start this evening. I will be there in good time. Mary, do not worry. I know I've been absent for a long time, but I will be your constant companion, shielding you and Sadie from all the storms of life. No more, but remain yours as ever. Philip W. Pringle.
And you've been listening to Soldier Come Home, written by playwright Frank W. Ricks, directed by Steve Brown with Don Jensen. Our stars this morning, Andrew Potter, Alexa Eves, Don Jensen, John Alec, and Todd Evans. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, Dunn, and McTernan, and also the Brown Ulstrup Performing Arts Foundation. Be sure to join us in December for the WGTD Radio Theater's holiday show on December 15th, a Branson Family Christmas show. For the WGTD Radio Theater and the 91.1 Players, I'm Steve Brown, as we listen to the final music from A Soldier Come Home, written by Frank W. Wicks.
You're listening to WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, your gateway to public radio. It's a minute before 12 o'clock here on WGTD-HD, Kenosha Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. NPR News and classical music on your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg. We'll join Wisconsin Public Radio in just a moment for their programming, beginning with NPR News headlines. Quick reminder that on Monday's morning show, we'll preview for you the opening concert of the Arts Alive series at the University of Wisconsin Parkside, which is next Thursday evening, the 27th, with a group called Five by Design and a program of theirs called Club Swing, the very best in swing music. We'll be talking with one of the members of the group and playing some of their music on Monday's morning show. That's just after 8 o'clock. Our weather forecast today calls for partly sunny skies today with high temperature in the upper 50s. And overnight, partly cloudy skies with patchy frost possible after midnight, low in the upper 30s. Sunny tomorrow, Sunday, with patchy frost in the early morning. High once again will be in the upper 50s. Clear skies expected Sunday night as well. Sunshine should continue into Monday with high in the mid-60s. Looks like sunshine for most of the week. This is WGTDHD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, your gateway to public radio at 12:01.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. President Obama is criticizing Congress for leaving Capitol Hill before finishing work on the budget and other proposals. NPR's Jeff Brady reports many lawmakers are headed out on the campaign trail.
The Senate finished after midnight Saturday with stopgap spending legislation to prevent the government from shutting down October 1st.
HJ Resolution 117 is passed.
President Obama, in his weekly address, says an unfinished farm bill would have helped the agriculture industry recover from a summer drought.
And we'd have made necessary reforms to give our rural communities some long-term certainty. But so far, Republicans in Congress have dragged their feet, and now they're gone.
The GOP-controlled House ended its business Friday morning, passing a bill called the Stop the War on Coal Act. It was designed as an election year slap to the president and has no chance of becoming law. Jeff Brady.